Rain may continue with a high of 41 and a low of 25. Friday will be sunny with a high of 42 and a low of 33. Believe it or not, it's time for spring cleaning. And if you want your house to be fresh and clean, you've got to go with Zero Res. This month, get three rooms of carpet Zero Resified starting at just $129, plus a free hallway. That's a savings of $55. Find more online at ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Politics with Brett Johnson. Glad to have you with us. Also joined by Eric Nelson on the other side of the production glass. And Eric, if you were anything like me last night, that was easily one of the most shocking elections I think I've ever experienced in Minnesota.
I have no idea how it happened, and yeah. It doesn't seem like anyone else does either.
Yeah. We, of course, were at the Park Tavern last night broadcasting. Matt kind of took the first half of the show. I took the second half. Well, we were at least contributors, along with the Devil's Advocates guys, who were the primary hosts, Dom and Kroot, who were great to have in town yesterday night, providing coverage over at the Park Tavern. And I'll pose this same question we were asking folks over at the Park Tavern. If you're a voter for Joe Biden, and if you voted for him last night, I want to hear from you and tell me why you voted for Joe Biden. And the reason why we're doing this is that we asked this very question last night at the Park Tavern, and we weren't able to get a single Biden voter to chime in. And I'm not doing that to trash you for voting for Joe Biden, saying, oh, you shouldn't have gone for him. No, I legitimately want to know, because it seems like they're some sort of like ghost coalition that we apparently have no access to. So,
because I was knocking doors for Bernie Sanders, and I was making phone calls for Bernie Sanders, and I came across maybe three out of, 75 who said they were Joe Biden voters. And even they seemed like, yeah, I think I might go with it. I don't know.
Yeah, and they weren't exactly strongly committed
to
Joe Biden.
They were not committed whatsoever. So it was strange. Now, I guess you could say the Klobuchar people maybe went to him, but it didn't seem like I can't make sense of it.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I mean, certainly Amy Klobuchar's endorsement had an impact, but to have the sort of impact where it could change the complete complexion of a race by over 20 percentage points.
And seemingly lower Bernie's support also?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, so if you're a Biden supporter, love to have you chime in. 952-946-6205. You can comment over on the Facebook stream or email us, comment at am950radio.com. Or if you have some theories yourself as to what happened last night and why so many people ended up breaking for Joe Biden. So I did go through and look at some of the data for Minnesota and also the entire country as to what happened for possibly why Biden got all of the support that he did in Minnesota. The final results, by the way, if you're not familiar, were 38% Biden, 29.9% Bernie Sanders, and then Elizabeth Warren just got a hair above 15%, which is significant because that does mean she will have delegates from the Minnesota delegation at the Democratic National Convention later this summer. And by the way, we already do know how the delegates are going to be broken down in Minnesota, as the DFL just released how they will be distributed. Of the 75 pledged delegates that we have in Minnesota, 38 will be going to Biden, 27 will be going to Sanders, and then 10 will be going to Elizabeth Warren. Now, what's significant about this in Minnesota is that I believe we are the only state in the country that has specific rules which bars you from switching your allegiance to another candidate, even if your candidate drops out of the race and says, oh, I'm releasing your delegates and you can go vote for whoever you want. Although typically, like in the case of a Pete Buttigieg or an Amy Klobuchar, they would encourage their delegates to go vote for Joe Biden. But Minnesota has specific rules which prevents that from happening. So those 10 delegates that are going to Warren, they're stuck there no matter what, unless she pulls off some kind of miracle, I guess, and still wins the nomination. But that would be a miracle of all miracles, considering How in the world, Eric, did she finish third place in her home state? I mean, I'm not terribly surprised she didn't win. I thought for sure that would go probably Sanders 1, Elizabeth Warren 2, Biden 3. But, man, that's quite embarrassing for her to come in third place in her home state.
Yeah, I think they were kind of expecting a low turnout also, but third place is worse than they probably anticipated.
I was thinking about her possibly as some sort of dark horse that could maybe have a resurgence to her campaign. I was talking about this yesterday, how if she could at least win her home state of Massachusetts, that would be her only path forward. She can maybe portray herself as being that compromise between Biden and Bernie. But now all bets are off the table.
Her campaign manager explicitly said that they had no intention of winning a single state. Mm-hmm. Then their plan was to just go to a contested convention with a lot of delegates collected here and there so they could make an argument that they were the best alternative to Biden or Bernie.
Mm-hmm. And that might be what she's hoping for if she is going to stay in the race to
I don't
try
think anything's
to,
changed from their plan.
She's apparently meeting with her advisors today, but maybe that's her path forward, is hoping that things get so contentious between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden that she can all of a sudden emerge as that compromise choice. How would you feel about that? I know you're a Bernie supporter in there. If we had a contested convention where things got really ugly between Sanders and Biden, what would you think about all of a sudden the DNC telling all the delegates, hey, you know what, go vote for Elizabeth Warren instead?
I don't like the situation that it's in. It would be in at all. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I guess I'd prefer Warren to Biden.
Right.
Maybe it's a weird situation. It's not, like, preferable in any way.
You're probably, not the right person to be asking about that because you're a Bernie supporter. It would probably be more interesting to hear from a Biden supporter, since they would be the ones that I would think would likely be more upset about that scenario where maybe it would be the DNC.
I mean, I'm upset that she's still running, but mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. The other thing she could possibly be still trying to do by racking up a few delegates here and there, and I mentioned this yesterday, is that if she can end up with, let's say, 100 or 200 delegates at the end of the day, that very well could decide the Democratic nomination. If you run into a situation where, let's say, Bernie ends up with 1,700 or 1,800 delegates, and then Joe Biden ends up, after combining with the other moderates, he ends up with 1,700 or 1,800, then it could come down to those extra delegates that Elizabeth Warren has, since that magic number to get the nomination is 1,991. So maybe she's also trying to play kingmaker, or I guess in her case, queenmaker, to say, hey, all right, well, who's going to give me the best deal there between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden? That would be a super interesting scenario, being that, well, she's obviously close with Bernie Sanders, but she's not had a good history with Joe Biden whatsoever. They didn't necessarily highlight this on the debate stage, but if you look back at their past, those two have not gotten along whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I mean, Biden's well known for specifically, like, authoring a lot of, like, legislation that is preferable to credit card companies. And she specifically went after them. So,
yeah, there's certainly some not good history between those two. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. We got, let's see, is that Tanya from Dayton who wants to chime in about Joe Biden? Hi there, Tanya.
That is me. Hi.
Yeah, so what's on your mind today? Were you a Biden voter yesterday?
I was, and I decided after Amy dropped out, I was going to vote for Amy, and and then, or, you know, right away when she said she was out, before I heard that she was going to support Biden, I was going to go for Elizabeth Warren. She was my number two.
Mm-hmm.
But when I listened to Joe talk in Dallas, I think for me it's more about personality than so much about policy, and I just cannot stand the tone of the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't stand it. So I'm just looking for someone who wants to bring people together. I'm looking for moderation of this extreme that we have in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was supporting Amy. And when I heard Joe speak, I decided to support him as well.
Yeah, so in other words, you're trying to return some sanity to the country after these past 3 years of having the orange guy there in the White House.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, Tanya, really appreciate the phone call. And, yeah, glad we did get a Biden supporter to chime in with us. And, yeah, what I was thinking in terms of maybe why people were going for him would be the electability issue, thinking that he has the best chance to beat Trump this fall, or maybe what Tanya was saying as well, that they just want that different tone in Washington. Now, whether Biden is the person to deliver that or not is certainly a fair question, or any of the candidates for that matter. But that's at least Tanya's thoughts, and I'd still welcome more calls from Biden supporters out there. We're at 952-946-6205. Would love to hear about why you voted for Joe Biden yesterday. And we'll take calls on any other topic. Maybe you supported another candidate yesterday. Tell me about how you thought things went and love to get your thoughts. So 952-946-6205. So what Tanya was talking about leads me to my next point, because 538 released some polling information that might give us some clues about how Biden rose so quickly in Minnesota. So 538 put out this chart among all of the states that voted yesterday, and they broke it down between the percentage of people who decided early in the process or late in the process of who they were going to end up voting for. So in Minnesota, for instance, people who decided early on in the process, 24% of them went for Biden, 45% of them went for Bernie Sanders, and then everybody else went for another candidate. But among people who decided late in the process, which, according to them, they define late as basically the past few days, 53% went for Joe Biden, only 19% of them went for Bernie Sanders. So that might be the difference in it right there, where I'm still not entirely convinced that Amy Klobuchar had that much power. I think it might just be that people got cold feet and thought, all right, we need someone that's going to be able to knock off Trump this fall.
And the media, like, for the past week after the South Carolina primary has kind of been, you know, like, oh, Joe's our guy. By this much, he's like, who we're picking.
Yep, and this trend wasn't just true in Minnesota. It was true in pretty much any other state. I mean, if we're looking at Tennessee, 61% of late deciders went to Joe Biden. In Massachusetts, he had 43%. North Carolina, it was 53%. In Virginia, it was 59%. Well, then the numbers for Bernie Sanders among late deciders was pretty much in the high teens to low 20s, so yeah, Biden certainly picked up a lot of his support very late in the process, and that's how that kind of caught me off guard, and I think a lot of other folks as well, with what happened yesterday evening. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, we got another Biden supporter. Where were you guys last night? We were trying to get you to call into the station or visit us there at the Park Tavern, but glad to have Sandy with us in Bloomington. She was a Biden voter yesterday. So, Sandy, tell us about your story about why you decided to go with Biden last night.
Well, I, like a lot of people, when I saw how he did in South Carolina and when I saw his speech, it felt good, a little reminiscent of Obama, and I wasn't feeling excited for Elizabeth Warren, but I was going to vote for her. I'm sorry, Amy. But
okay, so you were originally an Amy voter as well, just like our previous caller, right?
Yeah, more Elizabeth Warren.
More Elizabeth Warren. Gotcha.
Yeah, and I just think also Biden's going to pull everyone, you know, Buttigieg and others, you know, unifying us by bringing them into his cabinet or contributing somehow. So that's kind of exciting.
Okay. All right. So that's at least some of the reasons why you're going for a Joe Biden. How would you rate your level of excitement for his candidacy? Do you feel really excited about Biden for 2020 or just sort of excited, or are you just more along the lines, well, he's the guy to beat Trump? Well, what are your thoughts on that in terms of your excitement about Biden?
Excitement?
Is that an answer to your question?
That's the only concern, or one of the concerns I have about him. I certainly get why you decided to go with him, but I am worried that people might not be that excited about him. And what I mean by that is that you're going to encourage your friends. You're going to encourage your family to go say, oh, yeah, you have to vote for Biden this fall. Or I think what we ran into with, like, Hillary Clinton in 2016, yeah, a lot of Democrats said, I'll vote for Hillary Clinton, but their enthusiasm wasn't that high where they were calling their friends, calling their family, saying, you have to go out and vote for Hillary. So
are you going
to
talk to your neighbors and try to get right. in discussions about mm-hmm. it with her?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I think I live around a lot of Trump supporters, so.
Really? Out there in Bloomington, huh? You must be on the west side.
Yeah.
Yep, all right. I grew up kind of in that area, so yeah, there's a little bit of a difference there between West Bloomington and East Bloomington, for sure.
There is. Mm-hmm. There is.
All right. Hey, so, go ahead, yeah. Sandy.
No, so maybe my excitement, well, you know, mm-hmm. he hasn't even been around here or whatever, and so maybe the excitement will gather. And mm-hmm. the one exciting part is that a lot of us in Minnesota voted for him and around the country. So we can unify with that.
Yeah, it certainly looks like he has a very clear path to the nomination. And, Sandy, appreciate you calling in and kind of being our guinea pig talking about why you decided to vote for Joe Biden. But she did kind of answer our question there, Eric, your enthusiasm about Biden. That is one of the major concerns I have about his candidacy, because a lot of times that's how elections are decided. It's about, yeah, encouraging your neighbors to go out and vote for someone. And that's not just having like a casual conversation. It's having that type of enthusiasm where you're for sure always checking in saying, hey, you're going to go out and vote for so-and-so candidate? Did you vote for so-and-so candidate? Not just mentioning it to him once or twice, saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for this person, and you leave it at that.
Are you going to get on people's nerves by texting them all throughout the
exactly.
day?
Exactly, yeah. So, and I'm not sure Biden brings that type of enthusiasm. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm hoping I'm wrong on that, but I kind of have a feeling I'm right, though. What about you, Eric? Do you have that same kind of sentiment about Biden?
I'm in the same camp as you are. You know, I'll vote for him come
right.
the election season, but mm-hmm. I don't think that I'm going to go out of my way to get in conversations with strangers about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not because I necessarily dislike the guy, or I'm sure you maybe you're in that same camp, too, where you don't necessarily dislike him, but you sometimes need that type of person that's really going to create excitement where you're legitimately looking forward to them becoming president
mm-hmm.
or winning whatever office they're running for.
That's exactly it. I mean, a lot of people, they'll say, you know, I want him because it's a return to normalcy,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of hard to get excited about
that's like
normal.
The least exciting campaign slogan ever. I want to return to normalcy. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll continue talking about what happened last night, go through some other data from Minnesota to answer some questions and analyze last night's results. So stick around on FYI Politics.
Hackers, ransomware, security breaches. As I speak, cyber criminals are stepping up their attacks on businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark. Rimark has the expertise and experience necessary to navigate your company to safe water. We launch our process with a network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. And it's free. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment today.
The British are coming! The British are coming! The British are coming! Hey, you there! I'm Paul Revere. The British are coming! Where is everyone?
Ben Franklin dispatched an evacuation warning on Facebook. Didn't you get it?
Hi, I'm Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If your marketing is behind the times, contact us today online at socialmediamn.com or at 763-244-4058. We can help your business message get dispatched and selected on social media and Google search. We offer uncomplicated, results-driven, and affordable internet marketing solutions for businesses of all sizes. SocialMediaMN.com or 763-244-4058.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show. And together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
Back on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson, breaking down what happened last night in Minnesota, where Joe Biden will be taking a majority of the delegates in the state. The DFL did release how our 75 delegates will be broken down, and Joe will be taking over a little over half of them. He'll get 38 delegates. Bernie Sanders is going to get 27, and then Elizabeth Warren did get 10 delegates, which is significant. She finished just above that 15% threshold, and those 10 delegates will be sticking with her no matter what, thanks to rules we have in Minnesota where you cannot have your delegates released even if your presidential candidate ends up dropping out of the race. So, looking further at the numbers about why Joe Biden had a rather big upset over Bernie Sanders last night. So, really what it comes down to is what happened in the suburbs. Looking at a chart of how the different suburbs in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area voted, it was pretty overwhelming in just about every suburb. Looking at the burbs that at least had the highest vote totals, Bloomington went heavily for Joe Biden. Plymouth had a pretty overwhelming margin, as did Minnetonka, Edina. Really no surprise they had the biggest margin in terms of Biden having a large victory over Bernie Sanders. And as I'm looking through this, the only suburb where it was even close was Richfield, where it was Biden edging Sanders by a couple of percentage points. But other than that, looking at the rest of the suburbs, whether it was Lakeville, Burnsville, Apple Valley, Maple Grove, Eden Prairie, Woodbury, Golden Valley, Maplewood, Shoreview, those were all pretty heavy Biden areas. So that's largely what ended up deciding things, was that Biden performed very well in the suburbs, while if you look at Minneapolis and St. Paul, those generally did go pretty heavy for Bernie Sanders, including the precincts that are near the University of Minnesota.
Okay, because last night I know we were looking at it and Hennepin County was still like even pro-Biden.
So yeah.
I was confused by that.
Yeah, unfortunately, last night, as we were looking through the results, we didn't have the detailed information that we have right now. Yeah, it was just showing what was happening by county. But that right there was already the sign for me that things were not going well for the Sanders campaign, because Hennepin County, even with the suburbs, should still be pretty heavily in favor of Bernie Sanders, at least going back to what happened in 2016, where I think he won Hennepin County by well over double digits. I think it was even bigger than that. I know he ended up winning the state by 23 percentage points over Clinton, but yeah, certainly Hennepin County does, of course, include many suburbs in addition to Minneapolis, but yeah, as a whole, Hennepin County did end up going towards Joe Biden. And also want to point this out, they did break down how each congressional district voted, and I was talking about how last night how, gosh, did CD5 even end up going for Biden? No, it didn't. CD5 actually did still stay with Bernie Sanders, since that encompasses Minneapolis and some of the inner ring suburbs that surround the Minneapolis area. We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So coming up next, we're going to talk about welcome Eric to chime in on this as well. What Bernie Sanders needs to do and the other candidates, I guess Elizabeth Warren technically is still in the race.
Tulsi's in the next debate.
Tulsi, she did qualify for the debate. You are correct. She picked up one delegate, and that's enough to put her back in the next debate. Oh, I'm looking forward to old Tulsi Gabbard being back in the debate. Well, I shouldn't say old Tulsi Gabbard. She's only like 37 years old.
I know. So many people were saying like, oh, we don't have a woman candidate, you know, who's contentious or like a person of color. Like, Tulsi's still there.
Tulsi's still an option. Yeah. Tulsi always very popular among Democrats. Hey, we'll take a break and continue our conversation coming up next here on FYI Politics.
With the warmer weather coming, it's time to get that new Toyota vehicle you've wanted at Rudy Luther Toyota. Everyone loves the RAV4, and Rudy Luther has both the hot-selling 2020 RAV4 and the wildly popular RAV4 Hybrid. Both have inspiring design, intuitive technology, and smart style, and Rudy Luther has 250 available. And test drive the completely redesigned Highlander. Discover more quality for family time with the refined interior and the striking exterior. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., 2 award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, is the self an illusion?
Well, yeah. The self is nothing more than an ever-changing series of perceptions.
So you're saying you don't exist?
No, that's not what I was saying.
What do you mean by I?
Ah, is the self an illusion? Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. I've been telling you about Snap Construction, the company AM950 trusts for all roofing and siding needs. Now that spring is here and summer is around the corner, now is a great time to find out why AM950 trusts Snap Construction. Ryan, the owner, and his team at Snap Construction have been great to work with, and they have enjoyed working with our listeners.
Hi, this is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners at AM950. What a great group of people and a great radio station. I personally want to thank all the listeners that we've had the opportunity to work with. At Snap Construction, we look forward to working with many more of you when it comes to your roofing, siding, windows, and insulation. Don't just take Chad's word for it. Google Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the Twin Cities Metro. We led this community with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate. Call today, 612-333-SNAP, 612-333-SNAP, or visit us online, snapconstruction.com.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high of 43. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain with a temperature around 39. Thursday, the rain may continue with a high of 41 and a low of 25. Friday will be sunny with a high of 42 and a low of 33.
EatingLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Hazel's Northeast, offering classically inspired, creatively prepared comfort food. This restaurant has scratch dishes rooted in over 50 years of family tradition. Check them out at the corner of 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis, or see the full menu at EatingLocalMinnesota.com.
Welcome back, FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Also got Eric Nelson in studio helping out today. We got full phone lines as we're going to talk to Harv in Minneapolis, who was an Elizabeth Warren voter. And I'm sure there, Harv, Warren appreciates your vote as you helped barely put her above that threshold to get some delegates here in Minnesota. So welcome to the show there, Harv.
I voted for Liz because she inspires me. She's obviously the most intelligent candidate, you know, a Harvard professor. Mm. And I just thought she'd make
just
the best
a little
president.
Credentials there, yeah.
And I wanted to go meet you last night, but I couldn't work up the motivation for it.
Were you there, Harv?
I was kind of tired after.
Oh, I got you.
Mm-hmm. You know how old people want to take a nap after they eat? Well, anyway, I wanted to ask you if you could, in your role as program manager, mm-hmm. could you consider putting Laura Flanders on the air maybe during the weekend?
We'll take a look at that. We've had her reach out to us before, and it's something we're always considering. There's just a lot of factors that go into getting different programs on the air that sometimes don't even have to actually do with the content. A lot of it has to do with, like, how their show clock works, how does it fit into our program, do they consistently time every episode, that sort of thing. So a little inside baseball for you there. But, yeah, we'll look back into that. I know we had some conversations with her folks a little while back, so appreciate the recommendation. We'll definitely check it out.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Harv. And hey, next time, come on out. Don't get too tired. I want to meet you, Harv.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Sounds good. Let's continue. We got Kathy from South Minneapolis. Kathy, were you a Biden voter yesterday?
Yes, I was.
All right. Go ahead and tell me why.
Because I feel that Joe Biden stands much more of a chance of beating Trump than Bernie does. Bernie I'm 74, but Bernie's too old. I'm sorry, he's too old. He'll be, Christ, when he gets out of office.
To play devil's advocate here, no pun intended to the guys who host our overnight show, but Biden isn't exactly a young guy either.
I know that, but he's more with the American people, I think.
Sure.
I really feel Bernie's, like I said, he's too old. He'll be 84 by the time he gets out of office if he's voted in. Mm-hmm. He's too opinionated, too rigid, and too far left for the middle America. Joe will get us back on the right track, and that's what we need right now.
So I was going to say here, Kathy, so do you think talking to, like, your friends and family and neighbors, I don't know if you've ever talked to them about Bernie Sanders before, but at least if you've had conversations with them, do you get, like, definitive answers saying, oh, yeah, there's no way I'd vote for Bernie Sanders, or is that more of, like, an assumption you're making about them?
No. Usually the people that I talk to will either say they're for this person or that person.
Mm-hmm.
But it really scares me. You know, you asked where we were last night? Mm-hmm. I didn't go out there because I'm older and I was too tired. I also didn't want to be in a room full of Bernie Bros. Can you imagine speaking up in a room full of Bernie Bros?
Oh man, going the old Bernie Bro term out there. All right, Kathy, appreciate the phone call. Some fighting words right there, huh, Eric?
That's an interesting thing though, because I do think that a lot of the people who maybe when they get polled don't want to say that they support Biden because maybe they feel like there will be backlash.
It could very well be that, and maybe that's why we're getting some of these phone calls from people, who instead of going to the Park Tavern last night, are actually just calling us on the show because, they're a little, I don't know necessarily what the word would be to describe it. I'm not sure enthusiasm is the right thing. But they're...
And I don't know. I still want to hear from someone who is, like, why they like Biden seems to be more as, like, an alternative of something that he's not. You know
Explain
what I mean?
That.
It's not that he's necessarily for anything. It's that he isn't these other features, these other characteristics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's defining himself as what you're saying, that he's not Bernie Sanders and he's not Donald Trump. He's the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he stands for. And that is something that does kind of concern me, because if you look at prior elections, general elections I'm talking about, candidates who take that sort of stance or perceive themselves to be that way, they usually do not have a good history of winning elections. And that's true for both Democrats and Republicans.
Well, I know in, like, the last 20 years, a moderate Democrat has not performed well in a presidential election. I mean, you can think of John Kerry. You can think of...
I would dispute that a little bit, in the sense that I would think we could probably call Bill Clinton.
Past Bill Clinton.
Okay, past Clinton, I got you.
Don't really have a good track record.
Yeah, Obama's a little bit more of an interesting case.
Because he presented himself as progressive.
Right. He sort of did. But even if you, at that time, back in 2008, dove into his actual policy positions, they were largely the same as Hillary Clinton's.
Yeah, and they were Very similar.
Yeah, yeah. Really, the difference between those two was just their campaign styles. And I think that's really what attracted people to Obama back in 2008, was that they thought he had a better style compared to Hillary Clinton. But yeah, as we're talking through, their policy positions were largely the same. And that really ended up, I think, hurting Obama, having that perception that he's this big progressive, because ultimately that disappointed a lot of Democrats when they thought, we ordered an FDR and instead we got another Bill Clinton.
Did it hurt him, though? I mean, it got him into the White House.
It got him into the White House, but look at how Democrats did after 2008.
That's true. It might have hurt the Democratic Party.
Oh, for sure. He absolutely devastated the Democratic Party. I mean, certainly Obama did some good things, but just look at all of the seats Democrats lost during his term, not just in Congress, where obviously they lost control of the House of Representatives, they lost control of the Senate. The bigger impact was state legislatures around the country. That's how we ended up with having so many gerrymandered districts, is the fact that during the Obama years, we had so many what are called Republican trifectas, where in certain states, Republicans controlled both houses of the state legislature and the governor's mansion. That allowed them to write their own districts and largely insulate themselves from any sort of wave election. It's why it took until 2018 for Democrats to even flip the U.S. House of Representatives. And I mean, I certainly will probably vote for Biden in the fall. Well, I won't say probably. I most definitely will. But I do have that concern that we're going back to the same Democratic strategy we had during the Obama years and even in the Clinton years, where there essentially is no strategy outside of the presidential election.
He's a guy we just all put all chips on him.
Yeah, I'm afraid the very same thing that happened with Obama could end up happening with him, where people are going to say, all right, we knocked Trump out of office. Going to go home, pat ourselves on the back, and then watch Republicans fight back and take control of just about every lever of government. That's guaranteed to happen unless he can come up with some sort of different strategy to help Democrats down ticket, not just in that presidential election, but in those midterms and off-year elections. Those are the ones that really impact your day-to-day life. So often the presidency, I think, is an overrated office. You're much more impacted by what happens at the state legislature and by what happens in Congress. And if you end up having a presidential candidate or a president themselves, that doesn't really do a whole lot helping the party down ticket and in other races, that can lead to a lot of devastating consequences. So that's not a full criticism of the Obama administration saying, oh, it was a waste of time and we never should have had them. Certainly there were some good things to come out of it, but the major criticism I had of the Obama years was the fact that we, as Democrats, lost so many races throughout his term, and I'm afraid that same thing could happen, since largely the same folks that are affiliated with the Obama campaign are probably going to be affiliated with a potential Joe Biden administration. So it would be a return to what we had back in the 2010s, which is both a good and a bad thing. Let's go to the phone calls again. We got Jennifer in Stillwater. Hey there, Jennifer. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm surprised you guys haven't mentioned this yet, that the structural backstop, you know, safety net of our open primary systems was removed by all the state Republican parties.
Yes, this happened within the last year. Yeah, I mentioned it, I think, a little bit yesterday. Yeah, there was a significant change that happened last year thanks to, well, everyone's favorite Republican representative, Mary Kiffmeyer, who put in some changes in terms of how that voter data is collected and, as you're referring to, Jennifer, where it's you essentially have to register to be part of a party.
Well,
in
essence, and the biggest, most built-in thing that people don't think about is that if you don't have a race going on in each party, then all the Republicans are just free to flow into our party and vote. That's why there was somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 suddenly, like you called them, ghost voters that appeared in just the state of Virginia alone. They said between 300,000 and 400,000 people just appeared that did not vote when you combined the Hillary voters and the Bernie voters last time in 2016. They had more than 300 to 400,000 more voters, just these ghost voters that showed up. Well, hello, those are Republicans.
So you think it was actually Republicans that were voting in the Democratic primary?
In 2016, they had Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, you know, Carly Fiorina. They had all these people, so they had to stay on their side in their lane. Everybody had to stay in their lane, and they had to defend their guy. If they were Trumpers, they had to go vote for Trump.
I would ask you this, though.
I mean, they had to vote for Bush. And now when the state parties went through and removed lifelong born Republicans in from high offices, you know, U.S. Congressman and former governor of South Carolina Mark Sanford, Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, Republican Governor Bill Weld of Massachusetts, those people are Republicans in high office. There's no way they should have been removed from a ballot. It's not like it was, you know, me, a lifelong Democrat, you know, going over there and pretending to be a Republican. Why were they removed? Because it frees up the entire Republican Party. Hello, Edina, Minnetonka, all these people that suddenly don't have anything to do. So they come over and they vote in ours for the most Republican candidate, which is Joe Biden, who is way to the right of Nixon on all of his policies.
So a couple questions with that in terms of why I'm not necessarily buying that is that we've seen this attempted so many times in the past, and it's never succeeded in prior elections where we heard, oh, Republicans, go vote in the Democratic primary, and it largely doesn't happen. So what do you think changed this time to make it work if that is what happened?
Well, according to the Democratic Party and Stephanie Miller and Malcolm Nance, they all said that Putin and Trump and the people that control the Republican Party had a plan to do all of this. Of course, they lied and said that they were all these Republicans were going to go vote for Bernie because Trump and Putin had decided that Bernie was so easy to beat. None of those people ever materialized. I knew they never would because Trump does not want to run against Bernie. He's recorded saying at Mar-a-Lago that he absolutely feared Bernie and did not want to run against Bernie. He said it when he didn't even know he was being recorded by Lev Parnas. Hello, he wants to run against Joe Biden because he can use Burisma and Hunter Biden and, you know, Joe. And plus, even if they lose, even if Trump loses, what's the worst they get? They get status quo Biden.
All right, Jennifer, going to have to wrap it up in just a few seconds since we are coming up against a break, but appreciate the phone call. So Jennifer's in that camp of possibly having Republicans vote in the Democratic primary.
I know
what do you think about that, Eric?
I know a couple of people who did do that, who
really
were otherwise
okay.
Trump voters, and I was trying to convince them to go to, you know, well, try Bloomberg, try Warren, because I thought it would affect it less.
Do you know who they ended up going with last night?
I think
Biden?
I think they said Biden. But
really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just skeptical about that because Republicans have tried this in the past, whether it's been
I don't think it was an organized campaign so much as like, well, I was going to vote and I realized that there was no point.
I mean, I could certainly see maybe a few thousand, but to get to the point where you have tens of thousands or even over 100,000 people consciously going out and doing that and voting in the opposite party, that seems like a lot of coordination and
I'm not
a lot
saying
of work.
It,
yeah.
Like accomplished anything, but I don't think it's that much work because at least when I got my ballot and it was handed to me, there was no sort of authentication process, right? It's just, are you Democrat or Republican? Okay, here's a sheet.
Well, I mean the work of actually going out and showing up to the polling place. That
maybe
actually involves work. That's a reason why typically, well, voter participation rates are so low around the country is that, folks don't like actually having to get in their car and go to their polling place. So I don't know if I'm quite buying that, but
yeah, I don't buy that it made a substantial difference.
I mean, you're right
outcomes.
That there probably certainly were a few, but I just don't think there would be tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people.
Or that they'd even select the same people to throw off the balance.
We're at 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Paul and Bernie, hang on. No, that's not Bernie Sanders. That's Bernie from Northeast Minneapolis, although if it was Bernie Sanders, I would certainly be taking that phone call right away. But
if you're listening, call.
Yeah, absolutely there, Bernie Sanders. All right. Hang on the phone lines, everybody. We'll get to your phone calls coming up next.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. The award-winning Hazel's Northeast combines the feel of a small-town diner with the vibrant nature of its Northeast Minneapolis neighborhood. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, weekend brunch, or dinner, their classically inspired and creatively prepared American comfort food is always made from scratch. Hazel's Northeast at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. EatLocalMinnesota.com. The dedicated staff at Nightingale Restaurant take pride in presenting a thoughtful and delicious approach to food and drink, whether you're visiting for dinner, happy hour, or brunch. Their focus on made-from-scratch meals using sustainable and local ingredients is likely to make Nightingale your go-to spot for inspired food and drinks. Nightingale, Lindell and 26th in Minneapolis.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming to diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Also got Eric Nelson with us over there in the production booth. Mainly the past few days, we've been talking about presidential politics, but there is some news from the state legislature I'd like to pass along to you. A couple of bipartisan bills are making their way through the process. One is something I just saw wrote up today in the Star Tribune. There is a bill that has bipartisan support that would ban the sale of cats and dogs in pet stores. I guess what they're trying to do is discourage puppy mills from manufacturing dogs to sell in pet stores, but I wonder if that could end up, in essence, hurting a lot of pet stores that legitimately are just trying to sell pets to the general public. I'm not sure we need an entire ban on selling cats
and
dogs.
Are there any ethically sourced pet stores that find
that's a good point, though?
I feel like most pet stores that sell pets are not interested primarily in like the well-being of the pets.
Probably. And really, if you're going to go out there and get a dog or a cat, go to a shelter.
Yeah.
That's where you should be going anyways.
You can still go to breeders if you want a specific breed of dog that's in a mass-produced, you know, mill.
Yeah, and even one of the pet store owners they talked to in this article, it was someone who was trying to run an ethical operation, and unfortunately she kept getting a lot of sick dogs where, like, 7 days later after a customer bought a puppy, they would have to put the puppy down because it was getting sick, and this owner was actually going through with the buyers of those animals as they were going to put them down. So she certainly felt bad about it, and that's why she's even come out in favor of this bill, saying it's not worth the hassle when sometimes you don't even know where these animals are coming from. So that's one bill making its way through the legislature. Then this one, you might remember from last year, the ban on gay conversion therapy. Of course, it looked like it was going to pass last year, ended up not happening. Well, this year there is a chance maybe it does go through. There is a bill that's working its way through the House. It's HF 12. But the Senate is set to introduce their own bill that would ban gay conversion therapy. They're going to hold some hearings on that tomorrow. And it does have bipartisan support, so we'll see if that goes anywhere. I know Paul Gazelka was the person who was instrumental in getting rid of that bill last year when it looked like it would end up passing. And he does have a little bit of a checkered history, shall we say, when it comes to gay conversion therapy. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Bernie in Northeast Minneapolis. Hey there, Bernie. What's on your mind today?
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to your program and listening to Bernie Sanders last night. I have an idea we'll line up with the same old, to quote Bernie, with Joe Biden. Now, granted,
anything who's better than Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be, again, voting for the lesser of two evils for me.
That'll be the case for you, and I think that will be the case for a lot of people, and even those that supported Biden yesterday. I think the essence of what we heard from several of our callers is that, well, they're going with him because he has the best chance to beat Donald Trump, and that's a dangerous slope to go down when you're running an election, as we talked about in a prior segment. There is a very not-so-good history when you are having to vote for the lesser of two evils. Typically, that strategy doesn't work. So, Bernie, appreciate the phone call. Hopefully, we'll talk to you another time. Let's get one more phone call in before the end of the show. We got Paul in North Minneapolis. Hey there, Paul.
Hi, I'm actually in South Minneapolis.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, hey, I'm 64, and I was at the big Bernie rally. I was up in the balcony, and so I just started looking around at the big crowd, and then I started to realize I wasn't seeing anybody who was looked older than me. So I looked harder. I did find one couple, but that was it. And I made me worry that that someone else might take the primary,
mm-hmm.
and that's what happened.
So you were discouraged going to the rally last night, or what was it, nights ago?
When I saw that Bernie's support was not going to be coming from seniors, and that
mm-hmm.
that made me think that maybe Biden might take it, because there just weren't any of us older people besides just a few, very few of us that were out there at the rally.
Yeah, we'll have to see if we get that information released a little bit later on that breaks down the different age groups that voted for each candidate in Minnesota. I don't believe we've had that procured quite yet. We're only getting data about who voted for what candidate in what city. And, in fact, even on the Star Tribune, they break it down by precinct, which is kind of interesting to look at. I won't say which precinct I live in, but mine went 81% for Joe Biden in mine.
Oh, God. Yeah, now, my precinct, see, I went there with my son, and there were three of our neighbors in our precinct that just suddenly we ran across. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, I think just to add that to my experience at the rally.
All right. Hey, appreciate the phone call there, Paul. Hey, by the way, as we were talking about results from specific precincts, South Minneapolis ended up with three precincts that went for Elizabeth Warren. They didn't just go for Elizabeth Warren. They actually went with her by a pretty substantial margin. So apparently if you live on that border of Minneapolis and Richfield, that must be Elizabeth Warren territory. I found that interesting as I was scanning through the map. All right, just about 1 minute left on the show. Eric, are you going to miss those Michael Bloomberg ads now that he's dropped out of the race?
Oh, hopefully he still has some ad buys in, so they'll keep playing for a little bit.
Yeah, he must still have those. Just the amount
Maybe
of
he just wants to spend money.
Exactly, yeah. It'll be funny now, too, that he's out of the race if everyone's tone, at least among Democratic candidates, not just for the presidency, but for every other office, if their tone is going to change a little bit about Michael Bloomberg, because he's still got quite a bit of coin there that he can be giving to different Democrats around the country. So I was always curious watching the debates to try to figure out how much they would go after Michael Bloomberg, because eventually, well, you might want that money for a later campaign. But they ended up going after him pretty aggressively, so we'll have to see if that tone maybe changes now that Bloomberg is officially out of the race. And then, as we mentioned earlier, Tulsi Gabbard still running. And, oh man, I'm looking forward to that. Tulsi Gabbard's going to be at the debate because she got one delegate from the bellwether of America, American Samoa. Wasn't that the one where she got that delegate?
It was.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's all the time I got for today. Stay tuned. We got Matt McNeil coming up next.